Hey there, and welcome to another episode of Analytics Neat. I'm your host, Bill Bruno. For those of you that might be new here, Analytics Neat is a weekly podcast. It comes out every Monday. I tend to cover media, marketing, analytics, technology, and data, and I do it in a short format to try to make it something easy for you to digest and then move on with your day. I also love interacting with all of you, so you can reach out to me directly on Twitter, at Bill Bruno, using the hashtag AnalyticsNeat. You can also give the podcast a follow, at AnalyticsNeat on Twitter as well. So if you have any ideas, topics, questions, concerns, hit me up, and I'd love to chat. And whether you're an avid listener of the podcast or you're new here and you like what you happen to be hearing, then please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever platform you prefer. If I'm not on a platform that you prefer to listen to, let me know and we'll try to figure that one out too. All right, so let's jump right in. We're back with a live episode. I hope that the previous 2 weeks while I've been out on vacation or holiday, depending on where you live, were acceptable and at least good holdovers until we were back in real time. But I'm back from South Africa. It was an amazing trip. Spent time in Cape Town, in Franschhoek, on safari, as well as up in Johannesburg for a couple days before coming home, and learned a lot. Learned that I like Brandy from South Africa. Also know that she's a fine girl. Learned that I like white wine if it's from South Africa. I also celebrated my birthday. And thank you to those of you that reached out for a happy birthday message. I appreciate that. And celebrated my birthday seeing the Big Five in a 90-minute span. And spent a bunch of time with elephants on my birthday, some rhinos, leopards, lions, so on and so forth. It was amazing. A lot of the things that we found to do, we found via TripAdvisor. And so I was a little bit upset to see that Google is once again flexing its muscles, causing an impact on TripAdvisor, because I think that's a phenomenal place to get reviews from and feedback from people and see that Google's putting the squeeze on. It's kind of like when AOL was the internet. I think we're at the point now where Google is the internet, at least for this foreseeable future. But enough about the trip. We've entered Super Bowl week for American football here, and the most talked about thing generally tends to be the ads. For me, it's kind of surprising that so many are already kind of being leaked and shared ahead of time. Does it really count as a Super Bowl ad if it leaks or is shared on YouTube or some other channel ahead of the Super Bowl? Then it's just a commercial that's getting a replay during the Super Bowl ad. And the going rate for a 30-second ad this year continues to escalate. It's now $5.6 million for a 30-second ad. And that has a lot of people second-guessing whether it's worth it. I mean, that's extreme. That much money for a 30-second spot, better make it a real damn good commercial. And rumors out there that Facebook is one of them with my boy Sly Stallone. You know, I doubt that there's a whole lot that Facebook can do to try to repair their reputation with one 30-second spot. So for all the organizations that are spending that kind of money on a commercial, Godspeed. Yes, you'll end up with a lot of eyes. Sure, it's a something that people look forward to, but does it really convert to money, and are you measuring it, and what are you putting in place to measure it? Because eyes don't pay the bills. In other news on the undercard, London is getting in the camera facial recognition game. So they're going to put live facial recognition cameras across London, and the city's Metropolitan Police announced that it has moved past the trial stage and is ready to be permanently integrated into everyday policing. Now, for me, I didn't find this as something new and exciting because I've watched all the Jason Bourne movies, and it's just always been my assumption that this is being done already and not a new thing. But apparently, the cameras are being placed in locations that are popular with shoppers and tourists. And each camera will scan for faces and compare those faces to watch lists. And they'll be supposedly looking for people wanted for serious or violent offenses, according to some of the information that came out in the BBC News. So this has previously been limited, the use of facial recognition, to small trials and public events like concerts, football matches, things like that. And there's been a lot of criticism around this too, with claims that 81% of the quote-unquote matches were incorrect. Now, the police deny this, the government denies this, they say it's accurate, it's ready for prime time. This should be very interesting. I think the part for me that's going to be more interesting, because I just assume that everyone's watching everything that we're doing at all times, and I don't really care because I'm not one of those people that's doing something illegal. But at the same time, I understand the privacy concerns around this. But for me, it goes a step further as well. Imagine you're just a tourist out doing some shopping on Regent Street, and you get held over by a variety of officers with assault rifles or something to that degree, and they corner you because they thought your face matched someone on a watch list and it was incorrect. Imagine what will stem from that if that 81% inaccuracy is actually correct, or if it's even 50%. That's still a flip of a coin. And I can attest that being approached by police officers holding assault rifles can be a bit of a harrowing experience, as we had that happen with some of our duty-free items that we brought back from South Africa while we connected in Frankfurt, Germany. And unfortunately, some of the bottles apparently set off some alarm because the reader couldn't read through the actual bottle to gauge what the liquid was, I guess. But either way, we got cornered by police officers with assault rifles, so I don't wish that upon anyone. And in the final topic for today's undercard, we've talked a lot about location data, how important it is, how it's sort of been captured on mobile devices in a lot of ways without people being aware of what it is. And there's been some new reports out because, as we've discussed in the past, iOS 13, the new operating system on iPhones, has a lot of notifications. Apple's a lot more vigilant in notifying you if apps are tracking your location in the background, so on and so forth. And apparently, over 70% of iPhone users downloaded iOS 13 in the first 6 weeks of availability. And of those people, around 80% of them stopped all background tracking by apps. So that's the location piece that props up. You've probably seen that pop up if you're an iPhone user, where it says, hey, this app is tracking your location. Do you want to block it or allow it only when you're using the app? So on and so forth. Various companies have reported that the opt-in rates to share data with apps are now often below 50%, whereas 3 years ago, those same rates were pretty close to 100% across the board. And so that was largely due to unawareness and a lack of education around what was happening with mobile apps. I think in the privacy world that we live in, that's what's lending people to just hit the turn off and just panic and not share any of that information. But again, I look at that as an opportunity. I think if you explain as an organization why you want to capture the location and what value that's going to bring to the consumer, and you're very upfront about that, I think people are willing to entertain that. There are certain apps that I've seen location data be a benefit to me when I'm using those apps, and for that, I leave that location data on. If you're going to show me value, if you're going to personalize the experience or just try to help me in some way, shape, or form to add value in exchange for me being willing to share that information, then I'm going to be a lot more open to doing that. I think what you're coming across, and the same with the advertising industry in general and a lot of the lack of transparency that we talked about quite a bit, is the more behind closed doors and the more black box you are, the more likely individuals aren't going to trust you, and as a result, they're just going to hit off, right? And so that's just something to keep in mind, but it's interesting to see the shift in really just a three-year period of the data from a lot of these companies that are measuring that and coming up with some of these statistics. But with that, let's go ahead and wrap up the undercard and jump into the main event. I had a lot of fun monitoring all of the back and forth that continues to this day around Google's stance regarding cookies. So Safari and Firefox already block third-party cookies. They just went and flipped the switch. Didn't generate a huge reaction for web-based browsing anyways, because those browsers are not the predominant browser. When you start to shift into mobile, Safari is a big issue. In the US, it's well over 55% of all traffic. So yes, that is a problem. But Google decided to enter the fray and say, you know what, we're joining them. We're going to block all third-party cookies in our Chrome web browser. And we're going to do this in a bit of a phased approach within the next 2 years. So it's also, I think, worth noting that Chromium is now the back end of Microsoft browsers now as well. And as a side note, that's impacted all kinds of browser reporting on platforms like Google Analytics. And I've seen a ton of people comment on that as well, which I find laughable because most people probably haven't noticed that because they haven't even looked at those reports. To this point, unless you're worried about what cookies are being blocked, it doesn't necessarily matter what browser people are using. If you're in customer experience, then sure, maybe that matters, but then you're not going to use your Google Analytics or your Adobe Analytics reports for that. You're going to use customer experience application to make sure the pages are rendering appropriately in those browsers. But I digress, and I will say that I have seen some laughable retorts to this cookie issue around the industry. People arguing on the analytics side over its importance, individuals generating all kinds of opinions, inclusive of large industry organizations as well. And what I find amusing, and I took a moment while on vacation and in my brief period of connectivity to call this out, is that people are acting like this is a new thing. You know, everybody's sort of surprised that Google's taking this stance. The writing has been on the wall for years. You know, third-party cookies have been under attack for years, and people have turned a blind eye to it. And now those same people are having an uproar because they don't feel prepared, or they don't feel like Google giving a two-year window is enough time to sort of satisfy what the industry requires in order to move on from this. And let's be clear. Most web analytics tools, you know, for your standard reporting, like an Adobe and a Google, offer some sort of first-party tracking capability, but it's all done with DNS tricks and things like that because they're cloud-based solutions. But what this is really taking an attack on is the advertising industry. And what's funny about this, politically speaking, is Google taking this stance and saying that they're going to go build some other technologies or other approaches over the course of these next 2 years means that Google is already developing something separate from a cookie that they'll be able to offer for their advertising. And yes, I totally understand that Google taking this stance is screwing over a lot of other organizations and probably centralizing even more power around Google and what they can bring from an advertising perspective. The same thing can be said for Amazon, for Facebook, and even Microsoft to an extent, with the things that they can probably do within their respective networks to offer alternatives, but in the same time take on more power and more control in the advertising sector. But I am going to call out the Association of National Advertisers specifically here as we start to wrap up the podcast. I've worked with them a ton in the past while at Ubiquiti, and I thought it was really humorous that the ANA and the 4As, or the American Association of Advertising Agencies, decided to release a joint statement to chastise Google, as if that would have any impact on what Google's trying to do here, either from a political perspective or, frankly, from a privacy perspective. Given the privacy-conscious world that we live in, Google taking these stances will probably help them a bit in the conversations they're already having around the world, around GDPR, CCPA, and otherwise. Not to mention that the agencies, the brands represented by the ANA, so on and so forth, all need Google. They need the advertising network. They need Facebook. They need Amazon. They need all the places where they're bringing their digital ads to the forefront. And I thought it was really fun to see that these two groups joined together, which frankly, they were miles apart when we were doing the transparency studies while I was at Ubiquiti. But now these groups are asking Google, and I quote, to publicly and quickly commit to not imposing this moratorium on third-party cookies until effective and meaningful alternatives are available. They also go on to say that this move could hurt startups and emerging companies that rely on advertising for revenue. Now, I understand that this is a big shift in the advertising industry, but again, it's one that's had the writing on the walls for years. In fact, I sat in the boardroom at the ANA headquarters as part of the transparency initiative and pushed for data and technology to even be included in the transparency report in the first place. It was something that was being overlooked, and I pushed for measurement data and technology and the ownership of data and first-party data to be a focus for advertisers. And originally, it wasn't going to be in those reports until I brought that out and pushed for that accordingly. And I pushed for that for this very reason, because the writing has been on the wall for a long time. I've been in this industry for a long time, and I've seen how it's evolved. I've seen the challenges that have come up. I've seen the workarounds around those challenges. But I liken this a lot, third-party cookies being this, to the flash cookie issue that came out years and years ago, where people started abusing those flash cookies and then all of a sudden, you know, bye-bye flash, right? Same thing's happening here. Third-party cookies, data sharing, the selling of data, so on and so forth, has gotten so out of control that sometimes the only way to move past that is to force the issue. And I think that's what the browsers are doing. And it's a bit of CYA on their part. It's a bit of politics. It's a bit of power shift. It's a bit of Google becoming, you know, the internet. And centralizing their locus of control around advertising. Sure, it's all of those things. I understand all of those arguments. But when you boil it down, to the foundational element that underpins all of this. It's that third-party data is garbage, third-party data should not be trusted, and third-party data has led to a lot of evil when it comes to the privacy and compliance, you know, that needs to be in place in today's world. And that's why first-party data is so important. And most people are afraid to make that change. And I think they're afraid to make that change because they haven't measured advertising correctly from the beginning of time. And so as a result, they really don't even understand how these digital ads are performing. They don't, in most cases, probably aren't doing a whole lot with that third-party data in the first place, and can get a heck of a lot more value if they use their first-party data in a protected way to do better targeting, better generate better reach metrics, so on and so forth. And so those are just some of my thoughts on this. I think we'll continue to see the banter here. I really hope that Google doesn't stand down from this, regardless of who's clamoring, because let's be honest, the ANA, the 4As, anyone else, they're still going to come to Google. There's not another viable option with that reach. And Amazon has grown considerably in advertising, so maybe we'll see the furthered growth there. Perhaps this is an opportunity for Amazon and others to grab the brass ring and try to shift some of that power away from Google. I don't think that power is going to go to Facebook, because I think they've injured themselves to the point where they probably have to replace Zuckerberg at some point and start fresh, or get him to take a back seat and bring in a new face to sort of try to turn that brand around and to restore trust around the globe with that brand. But at any rate, this is going to be a topic I think we cover quite a bit in Analytics Neat this year. I think it's going to be something that we're going to have to drill into and across quite a few different ways to fully understand the ramifications of this. But Google's given everybody 2 years. Firefox and others did not. They just went and turned it off. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this week's episode of Analytics Neat. Thank you again so much for listening. We'll be back again next Monday with another new episode. We're back on the regular schedule. And until then, I hope you have a great rest of your week.